Spirit of Design delves deep into the unseen elements of design and holistic sustainability.
Join us, Amy and
Anya,
for open conversations with creatives, scholars, activists, and others to envision alternative design futures that are diverse, inclusive, community-centric, and in symbiosis with all life on this planet.
Been a little bit of a while since we've recorded our last podcast, and we're really excited to be coming back here together and having a chat about a conversation that started on our last podcast, where we chatted about truth and this call-out culture that we're living in today in our society, and cancel culture. And what emerged from that was a lot of ideas around breaking the rules and what that could potentially look like, using fashion as our context, as always. But also, I think if you're not in fashion, you could gain some inspiration. So I'm looking forward to chatting to you today, Amy, about this.
Me too. Yeah, I'm excited to have this conversation deeper and in a space where we share it with other people. So, yeah.
So maybe to kick us off, Amy, I'd love to ask you, because I know we had a little bit of a chat before we came on today, to you personally, what does breaking the rules look like? Why is it important? Why should we even be having this conversation today? What could it look like?
Yeah, I mean, I think we've spoken, a lot of our work over the last couple of years has talked about breaking the rules, and we've talked a lot about, like, you know, thinking outside the current ways of doing things, thinking beyond the current business models that are used, all that kind of stuff. And it's been quite a prominent feature of our conversations for the last couple of years. But I think, you know, recently I've been thinking a lot about what it means to break rules, to be a rule breaker. And today, as I was like thinking about this conversation we're about to have, I was asking myself, well, what does rule breaking mean in the context of fashion? And, you know, why is it important? And I think I kind of came to this thought that rule breaking is like, to really be breaking the rules, it needs to become a way of life. Like, it can't just be for the sake of breaking rules. So it can't just be like, oh, you know, what rules in fashion need to be broken. But for me, genuine rule breaking is a way of being. It's when we stop asking for permission from others, or stop, you know, defaulting to the way that it should, quote unquote, be done. And so rule breaking becomes a way of living that permeates every facet of our lives, not just in the context of our work or in fashion or, you know, in whatever spaces we're living and breathing and working and, you know, moving in. And so for me, I was thinking about this in the context of my own life and how when you are in a state, and it's not necessarily even about breaking the rules, because rule breaking to me, like when I say rule breaking, it's almost like a response, like it's a clapback. It's a response to something that exists instead of actually being in a state of flow. And for me, true rule breaking, like truly breaking out of the rules that have been set in place for us in terms of society, in terms of fashion in this context, truly breaking beyond that would be to get to a state where you were just doing what came naturally to you, where you weren't seeking permission for anything. And when you are in that state where you're no longer seeking permission or validation from anyone else outside of yourself, that becomes a state of flow. and you naturally become more creative in that state. And by being in that state of flow and authenticity with yourself and creative expression, you naturally then break rules. But I feel like when you're in that state, at least in my own experiences, when you get to that state where you're not seeking that permission, when you're just, that becomes a natural way of being, everything that comes out of that is more genuine, is more powerful, is more potent. And I think in the context of fashion right now, when, if we were to allow ourselves to get to that point, it would be really powerful to see what kind of solutions and what kind of creative expressions would emerge from that. And I guess that was where my thought was going as I was thinking in about this conversation we're going to have today. But I'd love to hear your thoughts on it as well.
Thanks for sharing, Amy. I think for me, when this question is posed, the first thing I think of is like, what are these rules that we're talking about? Mm. What are these rules we're attempting to break? And for me, that looks like the current paradigm of modernity that most of the world resides within. The project, the paradigm of modernity, coloniality, patriarchy, all entwined, all pretty much the same thing, that has placed this very one world view of looking, of being in the world, that completely devalues other knowledge systems and other ways of being. And these, from when we're born, these so-called rules, these ways of how you are to be in society, what is regarded as success, how to run a business, how to make money, what education looks like, what the healthcare system looks like, etc. Everything we see in our society and culture, that's governed by these invisible and sometimes visible rules that come from these larger power structures that are thrown onto us, these other states of being, from when we are born into these societies. So when we talk about breaking the rules, I like to think about how can I tap into my own inner wisdom in and do what's right for me in this moment with whatever I'm doing. But then I also know that it's very hard to completely do this because we are conditioned so heavily, and it's layers and layers and layers upon of deconditioning that we have to do to get out of it. And I'm not sure if it's fully 100% possible for us to really escape these larger paradigms at play, which infuse all of our actions and how we see the world in some way. But in terms of fashion, I think something I always love that we've talked about many times is defining your own success markers. What does it constitute for you as a fashion practitioner, as a designer, or whatever other field you're in? What does success look like to you, and how are you going to measure it? I've heard of people measuring it in terms of how much joy their business or their work gives them, in terms of the relationships they're forming with their makers, with the more than human world. So I like to always think about how can I define my success in my own way. And of course, these things are difficult because you can't, if you want to make a living and thrive, then economics is of course very much entangled in fashion systems, as is everything else. Breaking the rules, I always love, I think Peter Kelly says it, what would it look like if I didn't know how it was done? Again, not an easy thing to imagine, but I love this when thinking about breaking the rules. How would I like it to look? Is always something I come back to as well. I think there's so many tangible and practical things we can be doing small scale, but also realizing the fact how uncertain it is because of the current structures we're in. But it does entail breaking the rules, I believe, to start meandering out of these structures of modernity and coloniality, etc. How else for you, Amy, could this look like in practice? Do you have any examples?
I mean, I love what you said about defining your own success, and you know, that's something we've spoken about a lot of times before. And as you were saying that, it reminded me of a conversation we had a while ago. I can't remember which episode it was, and I can't even remember exactly what the conversation was about. I think it might have been about femininity and the place of femininity in fashion. I actually can't remember, but we were talking about how, like, what if we stopped wasting so much energy being against something and simply created something to the side. I think for me, a lot of when I think about rule breaking, I think about, like, how do you just completely disengage from the system in that you don't give it your energy, as in it's not a clapback, it's not like a response to what you hate, it's just simply you've decided to stop giving energy there and to put your energy where it can be used better. I don't know if that makes sense, but I think when you're talking about defining your own success, for me, that is like, instead of engaging with the system that is and being frustrated about the fact that it has very narrow parameters for what is designed, what is defined as success. Instead of engaging with that, you completely disengage and redefine for yourself. And that is a form of rule breaking that I think is, you know, a very powerful form of rule breaking. For me, that's probably the most powerful form of rule breaking. It also requires an exceptional amount of courage. And like you said, fashion is so tied with economics, and needing to be able to make a living is a reality for, you know, many who are engaged in the fashion system. You need to be able to feed yourself, to be able to sustain yourself, and that's a real need. And I think there will be a phase of transition where, if we are truly to disengage from the current system and recreate something completely different, that phase of transition will be messy, as every phase of transition in history has been. It'll probably be quite painful in some parts and joyful in others. And it will require an exceptional amount of courage from everybody, because transition is scary. It's unknown. You don't have the same safety parameters that you do if you just simply continue to engage with the system as is. And I think that's it. Like, one of the reasons we don't break rules is because there's a certain amount of safety in, you know, in maintaining the rules. You know, there's a certain amount of financial safety, even if it's just the bare minimum, it's enough often to keep us there. And even if we know that the alternative could be, you know, profoundly more, you know, exciting and joyful and fair and creative and expressive and all of the, you know, and a, you know, more offer a future that's more sustainable for everybody. Even if we can glimpse that, oftentimes the fear of the unknown keeps us enslaved to the rules that we so that we so hate, you know. So I don't know, rule breaking requires a lot of courage, but I feel like there are so many people right now who are at that point of feeling like, we're so sick of the current system that staying there is far more painful than the pain of like doing something that's unknown. And I don't know, I think we can begin to break those rules. I think one of the best ways is, as you've said, is redefining success and what that means for ourselves. And yeah, I just don't think it's going to happen overnight, but I believe that we are beginning to do that. We are beginning to go, wow, there are so many rules that we're adhering to that we just aren't okay about following anymore.
Yeah, and I think that we need to be, our society is one of the many kind of unspoken rules within our society is that complexity and uncertainty is a bad thing and should be feared. I feel like we need to get comfortable being uncomfortable and being uncertain and sitting in those spaces, because I feel like we've become too comfortable. And just like nature, there's the flux and there's the different flows and different speeds and rhythms, and it's not a monotonous journey. And when you were speaking, Amy, I was thinking, even though we all very much are part of this system, we're within the system unless you go and live in the bush, in the woods, and completely disengage. It's very much near impossible to not be part of it. But there's so many, I feel, little ways that we can be continually breaking the rules and expanding the horizons of what's possible for fashion. And one thing that's really close to my heart, and that's something that I explore a lot in my own research I'm currently undertaking, and we've spoken about many times, that interlaces with your work too, Amy, is looking at different value systems that are actually pushed aside within the Western construct, and different ways of being in the world, different ways of coming into knowledge, like through the body, through intuition, through reciprocity and reverence with the earth, with the more than human species, these elements that are disregarded within most Western constructs, even though it's slowly, the conversations around these are slowly beginning to emerge. So like elements of the heart and the spirit, that again have been kind of put into this Cartesian duality, dualism, where the physical matter and the spiritual are two separate things, as well as the mind and the body and the earth and culture and et cetera, et cetera. I could go on. So everything's been separated and compartmentalized. And so I feel like that's one way I like to do it, not intentionally, not saying this is an intention for me to break the rules, but because that's what my heart and my body is telling me to follow. But I can see that it's not there are people around me doing this, but it's still a minority conversation. So I feel like also tapping into what's important to you, no matter what the mainstream rhetoric is a way to do this as well.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, 100%. And I think tapping into those, oftentimes I forget that that's a form of rule breaking, because it's something we do, or at least you and I do in our day-to-day lives frequently. So oftentimes I forget that that's a form of rule breaking, but it really is. And even I was thinking about recording this podcast today. I don't know how many times we've tried to record this podcast over the last couple months, 2, 3, 4 months. I don't know. It's been a while. And even that to me has been a form of rule breaking, because I think we've both had this conversation often. Like, we feel the pressure to like post a certain amount of times and to produce a certain amount of content. And yet our bodies needed to be honored during this time because we've been so tired, or, you know, we've had things come up that just were needed more time and attention than, you know, and to be given room to be a priority in our lives for that moment of time. And for me, even that is a form of rule breaking, like giving yourself permission to rest when you need to rest, you know? So I find it funny that this was the episode that we decided to record on rule breaking, because it was, at least I feel like from both our sides, it was an intentional breaking of the rules to allow this time to pass and not have pushed too hard to make to record the next podcast, even though we both wanted to. But we allowed ourselves to prioritize rest and during this time. And yeah, and I think it's just apt that this was the first podcast back. But yeah, there are so many different, I think one of the things I was thinking of before when you were talking about it was that one of the practical ways that we can support ourselves when we are rule breaking, I don't know how else better to say it, is to look for community, because I feel like there are small pockets and we are approaching a tipping point at the moment where so many more people have become dissatisfied with the way things are done. And I think by looking for that community, even if it's one or two people here, you know, somebody on the internet that you found, you know, who lives halfway across the world, like, you know, we have our community that we just so deeply love and value, and they're spread all over the world, and it's not huge, but it just, they mean the world to both you and I know that. And by finding those people, those kindred spirits who are also rule breakers, I feel like that plays a huge part in fortifying yourself and allowing yourself to build up the courage to really explore rule breaking in the spaces that you move in. It's really hard to feel like you're the only one. It's hard to come across courage on your own. But I feel like the more you look for that community, the more you feel like, wow, somebody else is here, somebody else is here, and all together we may not be breaking the same rules at the same time, but we are all, you know, we are all breaking rules right now in our own ways. I don't know, I feel like that for me has been huge.
Yeah, no, I would agree with you, that aspect of community and that collective support, which I feel, even though where you can be so far away from one another as we are, we're so blessed with the internet and Instagram and all of this stuff. And, we're cheering each other on through the ethers, and I feel it's been huge.
And I think huge. Also, the thing is that community in itself is a form of rule breaking. When you look at our dominant Western societies, it is very much about the individual. It is very much about nuclear families, and everything is quite siloed, and community isn't a strong feature of our dominant Western culture. And so community itself is a form of rule breaking, I believe. Like, I remember reading in Charles Eisenstein's Sacred Economics, and he was talking about his chapter 11, I think, when he talks about fashion and the rise of the fashion industry and industrialization. And he's talking about how, you know, in order to mass produce fashion and have people buy it, you know, one of the ways you can successfully do so is to, you know, take a previously kind of tribal or indigenous group of people and separate them from their cultures and their communities. And then you would have created essentially you would have created a void that you can now fill with products. But for me, that speaks to the fact that community is such a rule break to our current society, because you're removing a lot of the needs that are fulfilled by products and by, products in our society, that you're removing a lot of that need and you're replacing it with what it was supposed to be filled with, what those voids were supposed to be filled with, which is community. And so that is, to me, a huge form of rule breaking.
Absolutely. I would agree with you. This day and age, when everything is about the rise of the individual, and what's Adam Curtis, the British documentary filmmaker, calls it, what, hyper individualization, which is a great documentary, by the way, all about this, and alienation, from like others, ourselves, from the earth, and that belonging. We've really lost sight of that community aspect, but I think people are starting to uncover that.
And I think that often becomes uncovered when you have a certain amount of, like, the last year, 2 years has had a lot of friction and tension, and people have become increasingly dissatisfied with the way things are done, just in the general sense, with the way many of our governments have handled coronavirus and all of this kind of everything that's come out of that. And I think when that kind of tension happens, people naturally are like, okay, we need to come back to community. And again, in our work, a strong feature has been returning to community with Mother Nature and returning ourselves to, you know, commune with her. And that, again, is such a strong form of rule breaking when we have been so carefully separated from the earth. So there's so many forms of rule breaking that we can engage in fashion that doesn't necessarily have to be the huge ones that, many of us don't have the privilege of breaking some of the bigger rules in fashion, in terms of, like, just financially don't have the privilege of being able to break certain rules, but there are so many which we can engage in breaking every day, which is, you know, things like returning to community, returning to our connection and our communion with Mother Earth, little things like that, redefining success for ourselves. And I don't know, can you think of anything? Do you have any practical thoughts in terms of, like, what this can look like what can it look like?
One thing that's coming to mind now is something that a mentor of mine, Haley Carr, who I worked with last year, taught me around working habits. And this isn't particularly for fashion, so it can be applied to anyone, but it's changed my life. Prioritizing pleasure, mm-hmm. and the things that bring joy each day before I work. So obviously we all have different amounts of time in the morning or throughout the day, depending if you have kids, responsibilities, etc. It's different for everyone, but finding one thing that really lights you up and brings you pleasure, and doing that in the morning, no matter, even if it's for a few minutes, and then trying to interweave these little practices throughout your day, and the work just flows better because you're coming from a more joyful, pleasurable state. So that's one thing that I like to do. And in terms of how is that breaking the rules, I feel like our culture is very much obsessed with productivity and been efficient and getting the max amount of hours of the day, and it seems counterproductive to be taking, to be spending time connecting to yourself or going for a quick walk in the morning or doing some reading or meditation or whatever it is that like makes you feel connected to yourself and the world around you. It seems like not as important or as a waste of time, or same as, you know, rest breaks, nap breaks if you feel you need, or whatever it is. I feel like that's been quite big for me in terms of breaking rules, because I have personally very much over the years, as quite a high achiever, prioritized work and almost was in the mindset that I could only do those other things as a reward once I'd done the work. But it's been switched around and it's completely revolutionized my life and also how much I enjoy the work I'm doing and how much more connected I feel to myself and not feeling like I have to earn pleasure or rest or the things that really light me up. So that's one thing. Do you have any, I know it's not very fashion related, but
I think it's pretty profound. Like, I think there's so many areas which you can apply that to in fashion. I definitely think it's relevant, and I think it's very profound. I think that would revolutionize most of our lives.
I feel like the way we do things, there's a lot of room for instilling these little day-to-day practices, like, you know, having little breaks throughout the day or more reflection time. Obviously, I know everyone has very different responsibilities and sometimes it's hard to fit everything in, but almost getting out of the mindset that that whatever work you're doing in fashion, that it can't be interlaced with all these other aspects that that connect you to yourself and to the world and community. Perhaps taking more time in building relationships could be one, instead of you know, that's something that's usually quite rushed, I find, in like mainstream fashion industry. Do you have any other examples?
I mean, I think mine was just the same as what I've said already, that community. Like, I would lean into community because it fortifies you, but it's also a form of rule breaking. But I feel like I feel like your point on pleasure is such a powerful point that I feel like it's one that I'd like to end on, because I really want listeners to take the time to sit with that idea that pleasure is such a rebellious act in our society, that by allowing ourselves to experience pleasure, that, you know, that is in itself a form of rule breaking. Like, I know for me, this is so stupid, but one of the greatest luxuries is like lying on my bed in the middle of the day to read a book. It's so stupid, and I could let myself do it, but I don't, because I feel like it's like, ooh, that's naughty, you know. But you know, by allowing myself to do that, I feel so much more refreshed and ready to go back to other things, to work, to, you know, my family, to my friends, to whatever else it is and that I'm doing in life. But it's so funny how, as you said, pleasure can be such an act of rebellion, such a form of rule breaking in our society. And I'd love for people to just take the time to sit and think about all those little ways in which we don't allow ourselves to break those rules, and how can we begin breaking those rules in small ways? And it could be big ways, but, you know, how can pleasure be a form of rule breaking for us?
Yeah, because when we're, I do believe, and I've seen this within myself and others, when we come from this state of pleasure and joy, the so-called work, what we're doing, it transforms. And particularly if we're in the sustainable fashion, or if we feel like we're doing purpose work in the world and trying to create alternative futures, I feel like the potency and the spaciousness and the flow and the clarity is just so, so much more powerful when it comes from that connected place.
Yeah. And also I think that the thing is that when we are really allowing ourselves to experience pleasure, like because of the way we've been conditioned, we have to allow ourselves to drop our judgment on ourselves. Like for the stupid example of reading a book on a bed, I have to drop the judgment of like, ooh, that's not being productive. Whatever it is that comes up for somebody, that judgment has to be suspended in order for you to experience that pleasure fully. And to be in a state of fully enjoying a pleasure, you're releasing that judgment, but it also means that it creates room for multiple solutions and multiple ways of being, because we then also have to, if we're allowing ourselves to fully experience pleasure, we're also going to allow others to do so as well without judgment. We first have to suspend our own judgment about ourselves. It then leads on to us allowing ourselves to drop judgment of other people. Because when the hardest thing to drop judgment is of yourself. And once you've gotten to that point where you're allowing yourself to experience things, it's so much easier to feel less judgy about other people. And once we get to that state, we then allow room for that multiple solutions, multiple ways of being. That just starts the snowball effect of, yeah, this profoundly different world.
Yeah. You have a few examples of how you could implement breaking the rules, and gosh, there's so many more, and depending where you are in the world and your context and culture, it can look like a multitude of ways.
Amazing. Did you have anything else you wanted to add before we jump off? But I feel like that's pretty...
No, I don't. Do you?
No, I don't. I feel like yeah, your last point was awesome.
Feels complete.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you, everybody, for listening today. We hope you enjoyed this episode, and we will see you soon.
Bye.
Thanks for listening. We hope you enjoyed this week's conversation. For today's show notes, to get in touch or sign up to our mailing list, you can find links at the bottom of this episode page.
And if you are new to our community, then head on over to our Instagram at sustainability5.0 and our website www.sustainability5.world and follow along to stay up to date with our upcoming online and in-person events.
If you found value in today's conversation, then we would so appreciate it if you would subscribe and leave us a review. Through this, you're helping others to find these important conversations.
Have a wonderful week. Bye-bye.